Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, please. Gospel of John, chapter 4. And we're going to conclude our mini-series that I've entitled Intimate Moments with Jesus this morning. But I'd like to come back down the road and revisit some more intimate moments with Jesus. But for now, this will be kind of the bookend of this mini-series. John chapter 4, okay, last time that we were ministering the word on this topic, we looked at Nicodemus, didn't we? We looked at Nick at night, and then before that, we looked at Peter and the intimate moments that those two had with Jesus. This morning, we're going to look at a woman that had a reputation. Oh, my. A well-known, well-broadcasted reputation. And the checkered past. John chapter 4, let's begin reading with verse 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That's noon. A woman at Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into a city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband.'" Verse 18, this is TMZ. This is back in the 70s, Rona Barrett. Who remembers Rona Barrett, the gossip lady in Hollywood? The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that..." Wait. Verse 18, "For you have had five husbands." Oh! "And the one whom you now have is not your husband." Let's all say shacking up. "In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship..." Now she changes the subject. She doesn't want to talk about her husbands or her boyfriend, her live-in. "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Yikes, he's rubbing it in. Next verse, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. How many of you know that was not culturally acceptable? You did not talk to a woman, okay? Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come." Have you noticed the trend that she kind of likes the men? "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they, the men, went out of the city and came to him. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we offer this scripture up to you. Father, help us to understand this morning and see our blessed Savior having an intimate moment with a woman who was a cast-off, a castaway. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know. Isn't that a great statement? So simple. The whole Bible summed up in just a couple of words. Jesus loves me, this I know. But I will tell you here this morning that equally as true and just as powerful is this next statement. Jesus knows me, this I love. How can I love that Jesus knows all of me, all of my previous sins, all of my previous misdeeds? How can you say Jesus knows me, all of your sins, all of your previous mistakes, your flubs, your failures, your flaws, your rebellious seasons? I think that every Christian has at least one or two of those in their lifetime, right? Usually in teenage or midlife. But Jesus knows all of you and still loves you the same. Jesus knows me, this I love. Now we see a beautiful story here because you have a Savior that is crossing every line that he should not have crossed to reach a person. One person went out of his way. If you look at the geography of where he was headed, he went way out of his way to go to Samaria instead of taking the shorter route to his eventual destiny, number one. Number two, while he was alone, he sat at a water well, and he began to talk with a woman. Once again, men did not talk to women. Women were considered to be property. Keep that in mind. How many of you are thankful that Jesus, ladies, Jesus is your best friend? He has raised your value as a person to be equal of that as a man. Okay, moving right along. So, and then a Samaritan, the lady said in a different translation, "You Jews do not eat out of the same plate that we Samaritans eat out of." There was no interaction between them. They were enemies. They were cultural. The Samaritans were cultural half-breeds. When the nation of Israel had gone into idolatry, they were taken captive, and they intermingled with some of the foreigners. There was this tribe of half-breeds, half-Jew, half-pagan, that resulted in the Samaritans. So the Jews said, "Man, you guys are mixed racially. We are pure race, the race of God's chosen people." So they had nothing to do with Samaritans. Here you find Jesus crossing not only a geographical boundary, a gender boundary, and now a racial boundary. Did Jesus expect that woman to come to him? He went to her, didn't he? My friends, let's get this straight this morning. A lot of people say, "Oh, when I was such and such age, I found the Lord." Baby, the Lord was not lost. You were lost. Yeah. Right? How many of you know, truer said, the Lord found you. You were lost, not him. Lord's never been lost. "I found the Lord." No. To say that you found the Lord would be saying like the mouse was chasing the cat. How many of you know the cat chases the mouse? And in this case, Jesus is the chaser, not the chased. Right? This woman had no end. She was living her life. And why was she going to the well at noon? Because all the other women of the community of the town of Sychar went what time of the day, church family? Early morning. Why early morning? Much cooler, wasn't it? It was much cooler in the morning. And I can imagine all these other ladies, just like a pack of hands, whatever collective grouping hands are, they were bad-mouthing this woman that came at noon to avoid all the ridicule, all the scorn, all the whatever despising comments, disparaging comments these other women in town had for this woman, because she had gone through how many different husbands? Now, let's get something straight. In that culture, church family, a woman could not decide to marry a man. A woman had to wait for the man to marry her. Right? So that tells me one thing about this woman. She was good looking. Five guys, good looking. I mean, the first one didn't work out, and I'm sure all these other ladies in town are criticizing her why she could not keep a man. She can't keep a man. First man dumped her. A woman could not divorce her husband. Come on, somebody. In that culture, a woman could not divorce her husband. Only the husband could divorce her. So first marriage flopped, second marriage flopped, third marriage flopped, fourth marriage flopped, fifth marriage flopped, and now she's cynical and she's hardened and she's given up on the institution of marriage. As a lot of women have done in this society. We're going to have friends with benefits. Do not edit that out. That's relevant, Ms. Sheila. People need to hear this message. We're going to have friends with benefits. No commitment, no strings attached. We'll just enjoy each other, okay? Well, that's where this lady was. Can we be real, church family? Do you realize that Jesus is real? Jesus is not shockable like some church people are. I tell you, some church people, man, you tell them, when you get into the background of the Gospels and the people that Jesus rubbed shoulders with, and they realize that they were hardcore sinners, God's people bristle. Come on, Terry. Holler at me, brother. They bristle because, oh, well, that's not the Jesus I know. Well, what kind of Jesus do you know? A pious, detached, distant deity that has nothing to do with real sinners in hardcore sin? Jesus talked to her, and he spoke to her with dignity. Come on, somebody. Amen. This is the Savior that we serve. This is the Savior that we love. This is the Savior that we follow. And let's be thanking God, church family, because you and I could have been in those shoes as well. Oh, not me, Joe. Well, you especially. So this lady was dumped by five men. Is there any wonder that she knew? She noticed carefully, she didn't go to the women in the town. She went to the men in the town. How many of you would kind of suspect that maybe she knew a few other men other than the one she had been with? Huh? Was Jesus shocked at her past, church family? Did Jesus love her as she was? Jesus knows me, this I love. Who can say that with me today? Jesus knows me, this I love. See, that's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus I serve. That's the Jesus I see in the scriptures. And I love that. And then when he tells her all her truth about her, she's all wigged out. She's like, Lord, let's talk about worship on the mountain. You're getting too close to home, right? You're getting too close to home. Let's talk about worship. Jesus slowly indulges her a little bit, but slowly begins to direct the conversation back to her. You know, there are many times that I've ministered to people, especially in my teenage years. I shared Christ like crazy with some of the kids, and they would always, I knew when I was beginning to hit some nerves in them, because they immediately said, well, what about the Aborigines tribes in the far-flung corners of Africa? And I'm like, that has nothing to do with you, Bubba. What about you? But they wanted to redirect the conversation to everybody else but them. Come on, somebody. And just to answer your question, in Acts chapter 17, the Bible says that God predetermined the dates and the places where people should live so that they would not be far from Him. So that they could reach out to him. So that's my answer to any objector about what about these other people who have never heard, or what about these, you know what? God predetermined where they should live and the times in history when they should live so that they could reach out to him. It's good stuff, huh? All right. How many of you would say, keep preaching? I like this series. Don't you guys like this series? Because listen, Jesus loves real people. I love that. Jesus knows me. This I love. All righty. So let's move on. And so the conversation comes back. Verse 27, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled. What are they astounded about? That he did what with a woman? He was talking to a woman. You don't do that, Jesus. What are you thinking? But they did not ask him. I think they learned their lesson, right? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to whom the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. She's excited that Jesus pointed out her checkered past. Notice, church family, she's not ashamed. Bringing out some truths, because we need to acquaint ourselves with this Savior. Jesus does not shame you over your sins. Jesus does not condemn you over your sins. Come on, somebody. Jesus does not make you feel horrible. Does that mean that we shouldn't feel horrible for our sins? You know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And one of the applications of that verse is mourn over our sins. We should feel bad. But let me tell you, and don't let this blow your theology to smithereens, but it's not Jesus who makes you feel horrible over your sins. It's not Jesus who's raking you over the coals over your sins. He's there to save and forgive. Am I right? Listen, that's a Jesus of the Bible. That's a Jesus that you and I love. Jesus knows me, this I love. And she's excited, telling all the men, guys, you're not going to believe this. This guy knows who I slept with. With you and you and you and you. And you too, Bubba. You told me to keep it on the low, but. I mean, this is a real woman. When all the other women rejected her, scorned her, would have nothing to do with her, Jesus adopted her as his own. You know the miracle? What did she forget at the well? Her water pot. How many of you know now she's free? She doesn't feel the burden to go in the midst of heat to avoid other people. She's had an encounter with Jesus. She became intimately acquainted with the Master. And look at the transformation that we see. Go with me at the beginning. Chapter 4, go with me to verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? What did the woman initially know Jesus as? A Jew. A Jew. Go down with me to verse 11. The woman said to him, sir. So she went from knowing him as a Jew to knowing him as sir, a man. Now she's having respect for him. Go down with me to verse 19. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Notice, do you see a transformation? She went from calling him Jew to calling him sir to calling him a prophet. And go with me to the completion of the transformation. Verse 29. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be Christ, the Messiah? She went from Jew to sir to prophet to Christ. And you want to know something, church family? This is what I love about Jesus. He chose this woman with a horrible past to be his first evangelist. Do you realize that at this point, she knew more about Jesus than even his own 12 disciples did? The disciples weren't teaching that Jesus was the Messiah. They thought he was the political, militaristic leader that was come to save Israel politically and militaristically. They did not know what she knew. Okay, can we pursue that thought, church family, in closing? How many of us know that sometimes the people, we can be so close to Christ and sometimes miss the whole point altogether? You know, I love what Jesus told Simon the Pharisee. And remember when that woman with a different woman with a horrible reputation washed Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. And he judged her in her heart, and Jesus perceived his thoughts. And he said, Simon, if someone owed you a little money and the debt was canceled, how much gratitude would there be? These are my words. And he said, well, there would be some. And he said, what if there was a huge debt that somebody owed and that debt was canceled? Well, they would love you a lot. And Jesus said, to the person whose many sins are forgiven, loves much. To the person whose few sins are forgiven, loves how? Little. Little. You see, my family, it's usually the great sinners that make great followers. Not the snippety snip, I'm better than you, look at me, look at my lifestyle, look at how good I am, look at me, I'm not like one of these sinners. Baby, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. There are no stair steps to the ground, to the ground at the foot of the cross. It is all level. We all come to Jesus as sinners. Amen? To whom much is forgiven, loves much. And I want to close with this. Listen, Jesus knows me. You finish it off for me. This I love. How many of you feel free in that realization? No matter what I've done, how many times I've done it, Lord, no matter how many times I've said, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Help me not to do it, help me not to do it, help me not to do it. And then you do it again. Yep. Jesus knows me. This I love. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to every one of us, Lord. Thank you that you love us as we are. But you never leave us that way, Lord. You have too much good in store for us. And you want us to partake of a wonderful future with you and a better life. Lord, you love us too much to leave us where we're at. I give you thanks, Lord God, for ministering your word and empowering your people with this realization. Jesus knows me just as I am, and he loves me just as I am, but he loves me too much to leave me where I am. We give you thanks for all this, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.